okay. That's like better than chapel. I mean, yours is like morning.
Shut up.
On that note, let's praise Jesus, right? Okay. Hey, glad to see you guys. I'm always glad when I get to do this this discussion with our first year guys. It's something that's huge on my heart for you guys, and that's service. We're going to talk about pouring God's love into others, and we're going to move around today, leave the chapel today, so hopefully you didn't wear your shorts today, because you're going to be standing outside for a little bit, so I'll try not to freeze you for too long, okay? Let's open with a word of prayer, and then we'll dive into this thing, okay? Lord, thank you for these students that are here. Thank you for their commitment to worship you and to honor you through being here and giving themselves to study for this season. I pray that you would just honor that by broadening their minds, by growing their spirits. I pray that you would draw them near you through their experience here at DCC. And even through this discussion, even through this lesson today, I'm praying, Father, that that your will would be done in our hearts. We just want to honor you in all that we do. Amen. So do you guys ever have aspirations of greatness? Anyone? Yeah. You guys dream of greatness? I know you do. I know you do. We all do. I know that even as a kid, I was playing G.I. Joe at my cousin's fort, and we were like decimating Cobra the enemy and saving all of the hot girls. I mean, we would never die. We would get injured, you know, so that we could be nursed back to health. But, I mean, we had, even as little kids, we had dreams of being powerful, of being great, of being consequential. And you guys have these same aspirations too, am I right? You know what I'm talking about? Maybe not G.I. Joe, although some of you, maybe. I've seen some guys in the dorm. I'm kind of suspect. But anyway, I know that you guys, you know, in your academics, some of you guys strive to succeed in your academics. Some of you guys need to strive more to succeed in your academics. That's a different story. In athletics, you know, you guys, don't you just sometimes have a fantasy about just crushing the ball over the fence? You know, about the give and go that scores the winning basket at the end of the game? About having four women and crushing two teams back to back? Don't you have these kind of, oh, wait, that was reality, wasn't it? Pretty good. But you know what I'm talking about? I mean, you're just like laying in your bed getting ready for the game the next day. Or some of you guys are musicians and you just want to excel at what you do. It's a natural God-given inclination, right? In your business, some of you guys have dreams of being successful business owners, businessmen, businesswomen. Some of you guys want to matter in the kingdom and doing vocational ministry. You're here to study, to do ministry, and you've just been dreaming of being great in God's kingdom. Right? Anyone? Yeah, okay. I love history. If you guys have hung around me much, you know that I really appreciate history. I love to learn stories about men and women who are on that, you know, discovering their road to power, their road to influence. I'm thinking about Admiral Nimitz in World War II or General Patton. I love the stories of Martin Luther and his resistance to Catholicism and his passion for the Reformation and for coming to the Lord on our own. You know, I enjoy the stories of Alexander the Great. You know, there's a famous quote that when Alexander looked at the breadth of his domain, he wept, for there were no more worlds to conquer. That's just good stuff right there, right? That guy's intense. Of course, he died when he was like 32. But anyway, we all just have aspirations to be something, right? Does anyone here is like, man, I just cannot wait to get to mediocrity. That is my goal in life. Someday I want to aspire to middle management, right? No, we want to matter. We want to matter. James and John were a couple of Jesus' disciples. James and John were pretty intense. These guys were pretty type A, pretty hardcore. And they were with Jesus, as recorded in Mark 10. If you're going to follow along, you can go to Mark 10 there, Mark 10:35. And they had this strange request of Jesus. I'm going to read that to you in Mark 10:35. It says here that James and John, the sons of Zebedee, says elsewhere they're called the sons of thunder. That gives you kind of an idea of their personality. The sons of thunder came to Jesus. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. Have you ever gone to God and said, hey, do whatever we want you to? But Jesus humors them. He says, well, what do you want me to do for you? And they replied, let one of us sit on your right and the other at your left in glory. See, James and John wanted honor. They wanted to be great in the kingdom. What's unique about this passage, though, when they say, we want to be great in your kingdom, Jesus doesn't blast them for desiring greatness. He doesn't say, oh, don't want that. You should want to be the least. You should want to be awful. Instead, what he does is he redefines what greatness is for James and John. And he says, if you want to be great, then great. That's fantastic. Here's exactly how you do that. And here's his response. The other 10 heard about this and they became indignant with James and John. And Jesus called them all together. Children, listen. He says that you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them, but not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. Even the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. I find it amazing that Jesus doesn't say, don't desire greatness. He doesn't say, think of yourself as trash. He says, if you want to be great in the kingdom, here is how you do it. And he takes the world's scheme, the world's understanding of what greatness is, of gaining ability and gaining resources and of standing on others, of pushing opposition down, of rising above the rest, of bringing honor to yourself. He says, if you want to be great in the kingdom, you take that measure and you turn it upside down. And whoever's last will be first. And so he says, if you want to be great, this is exactly how you do that. You make yourself a slave of all. In other words, you've got to redefine what greatness is. He doesn't say don't aspire to greatness. He says aspire to greatness, but redefine what that looks like. And he shows them the way. Many of us want to be great in God's kingdom. Am I right? Many of us want to be consequential in other people's lives. Do you guys want to matter to others? That's kind of a natural inclination for students at a Christian college. We want to matter. We want to be consequential. Or at least we say we do. We all want to be strong disciples of Christ. We want to listen to His Spirit. We want to obey. We want to be in sync with His Spirit and with His prodding in our life. But you guys ever have those times of just ridiculous, acute spiritual dryness? Do you guys ever have those times when it feels like your faith and your life are just kind of going nowhere? You know what I'm talking about? I think those happen to all of us, where we want to press into the Lord, we want Scripture to matter to us, but our prayers just sound like we're talking to ourselves. Huh? We read the Word of God, we believe that it's life and the living Word, but when we read the words, we're like, I'm just not feeling this today. I want to be feeling it, but I'm not. What's wrong with me? You guys ever had just this spiritual funk, you know what I'm saying, where you believe, I mean, you know that it's true, you know that it's the truth, but I'm just not feeling it. I'm coming to chapel, you know, hey, I love talking to students. And they suspect that I'm the dean of students. And so, man, every time I come to chapel and every time I go to church, I'm just in sync with the Lord. And I love them like, if you only knew. There are times when I come to chapel, guys. I love chapel. I really do. But there are times when I'm like, I ain't feeling it today, God. And you're just going to have to pour an extra measure of your mercy on me to draw me to you. Because today, I'd rather be doing my emails. You know, I'm there with you. Sometimes I'm singing. Well, I don't do this if I don't mean it. But sometimes I'm singing and I'm just... I want to be obedient, and I want to be an example, and I want to be with my students, but I'm just not feeling it today. You know what I'm talking about? Y'all have those times? Okay, so you're human? Okay, good. I think you guys are especially susceptible to this as Christian college students. I don't want you to be blind to this fact. You guys are at a Christian college, and I think that the situation I've described to you particularly pertains to you, more so than if you're a Christian in the, you know, the darkness at at University of Texas, for instance. I mean, sometimes I look at Christians at the University of Texas, and I go, you guys have an opportunity to shine. I mean, in some of those scenes, there's a pretty stark contrast between a follower of Christ and the scene at a state school. Okay, I'm not pointing fingers at schools, you understand. But sometimes students come here and they just kind of get drowned out by all the God talk. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you come here and you are you're talking about scripture every day. I mean, you're sometimes your assignment is memory, is scripture memorization, and it just becomes a textbook. And you know, I assign you guys. You have to go journal. I assign Christian service. Hey, do Christian service or you fail. Yeah, I understand the stigma on that one. Sometimes you're with professors who are just these tremendous men and women of God, and it just starts to. Instead of infusing us with life, we start to feel kind of overwhelmed, right? I don't want you guys to be blind to this as you guys are at the front side of your journey at DCC, okay? We're saturated by spiritual talk. We're saturated by spiritual giants, by all this spiritual energy, and yet sometimes it just feels like we fail to release it. We read in Scripture about the power of the Spirit at Pentecost. We read about life to the fullest, and then we look at our own life and we think, I don't really feel all that full. When Jesus talks about life to the fullest, I think he meant something else. I must be missing it somewhere. Right? So students often come to me and they speak about these natural slumps, these natural times of depression that inevitably come, by the way. And my response to them, my first question is always the same. Where are you serving? Where am I serving? What does that have to do? No. I've got this funk going on. I don't feel it anymore. You know, when I was at camp, when I was at a revival, when I was at my home church, and we'd do that, and people were jumping excited. I'm not going to chapel. Now I'm just like, I don't feel it. Yeah, where are you serving? That's not what I'm talking about. Guys, where are you serving? Understand this. Depression is a very selfish thing. Some of you guys have had, we've all had different levels of depression, different bouts of depression. That's a very human emotion, right? Some of us more than others. But imagine that time that you experienced depression, or this current time, perhaps you're dealing with this yourself. Depression's a very selfish thing, isn't it? It's a very me-centered, what's wrong with me? Why am I so messed up? Why is all this happening to me? Why can't I get this thing together? Why haven't I figured this out? Me. And all this focus is on me and my funk. Why am I so messed up? Guys, don't you understand that when you serve and when you pour yourself into others, the focus is no longer on you. Your focus is on others. And that very fact helps to dismantle the selfishness that's inherent in depression. So when people come to me with this, these spiritual lows, it's so often, you know, the guilt of our sin. this is some strange counsel I actually gave to a student recently, really wrestling with sin and darkness and, you know, trying to take their thoughts captive. And I said, you know what you need to do? You need to think about this less. Man, no, I want to give my thoughts to Christ. I don't want to give in to perversion. I want to give myself to the Lord, and I can't, and I keep struggling, and I try and get back up, and he knocks me back down, and every day, he's like, you really need to think about this less. You need to focus on his kingdom, on his righteousness, not on how screwed up you are. God knows you're screwed up. He loves you anyway. Deal with it. Pour yourself into others. What I want to do right now is move over to Newland Hall. So if you guys would get all your stuff, we may or may not be back here, and we're going to move over there. We'll resume between Newland Hall and the gym.